How's the Afternoon Magazine? I'm Celeste Quinn. A rainy day, a complaint of we're bored, a long car ride. All opportunities to pick up the all-new book of lists for kids. The book by Sandy and Harry Charon was first published in 1985. Now they've updated it, adding 50 new lists. It contains a bit of everything from advice to history to trivia on food, toys, movies, and music. Here's a couple of examples of lists included in the book. How to sound like a grown-up when you make a phone call. Ways to handle embarrassing moments. The life story of Mr. Potato Head. The Movie Monster Hall of Fame. 10 Kids Who Invented Things. 13 Rude Things That Parents Do. And how to make it appear as though you have cleaned your room in only 27 minutes, no matter how messy it is. Sandy Charon is an author, editor, and art director, and literary agent. She joins us this afternoon to tell us about the creation and the update of the Book of Lists for Kids. Sandy, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, sure. My pleasure. This book was first published in 1985. What inspired the first Book of Lists for Kids?
Probably the fact that the first word I ever said when I was a baby was book. I've always loved books, and I've been working in book publishing for almost over 25 years. And it's the kind of career where you could be working on the Rocky Horror Picture Show one day and Carolean Photography the next, and then you're editing a piece on how to buy an elephant. So I used to walk around with a lot of seemingly useless information in my head, which made me interesting or obnoxious at cocktail parties when I looked at it. But there was one time I went to Disneyland, and it was the first time there, and I saw that fabulous parade with all the lights and everything. I was sitting there, I went, wow, I wonder how many light bulbs are in this parade. And I thought I'd find out. So I went home and started writing to Disneyland and all these other people, and I found out when I found the first 100 characters that Disney had, and I learned all about Disney movies and Disney everything. But I never did find out how many light bulbs there were in the parade. For me, I learned that the journey is much more exciting than the destination, and that's something I want kids to know.
Yeah. Well, tell us about, tips for buying an elephant.
Not in this book.
I know, but...
That was something I worked on long ago. But you do have to comparison shop. That was actually a turn-of-the-century piece that we found at the Smithsonian Institution. But there's a lot of how-to information out there, and I've always been crazy about it. I love knowing how to do things that I don't have to do.
Yeah. What a great job you have.
Yeah, I do. I'm one of the luckiest people in the world, and I get to hang out with kids, and I get paid to talk to children, which is, you know, what could be better than that? And life is always full of surprises. Turn the page in your life, and you wind up in a whole different chapter.
Do you recall the first few lists you put together for the first edition?
I do, because when we first started out, I thought the most entertaining thing around was, the Disney stuff and the animation and TV shows and all the stuff that kids were into. This was back in 1985. Remember, this is before Jurassic Park, and this was before computers, so we were stuck in the dark ages there in 1985. But I remember doing the first Disney list that came in was the first 100 Disney characters, and I found out that Hitler and Albert Einstein were both among the first Disney characters. They actually had cartoons about them. And Donald Duck was not a big star when he came out in 1934. He was actually a supporting role in a little animation called The Little Wise Hen. From there, we went in, I got into other TV shows, and we wrote to Double Dare and found out that Double Dare is that show where kids kind of maul each other over questions. It's like the old beat the clock game. But this is a show we found out went through 16,000 gallons of GAC, 3,000 cans of whipped cream, and 67,000 eggs in the course of one year of programming. But from there, you know what? We learned that all the other stuff we knew was just as entertaining as what we call the entertainment stuff. So we just went all over the place, and our book covers food and games and toys and cyber fun and facts and just, making it in a kid's world.
Mm-hmm. Some of the lists are silly and a lot of fun. Others are very thoughtful and quite sensitive, reflecting serious issues kids face, like handling bullies and how to approach your parents with something that's hard to tell them.
You know what? when I was starting out in publishing, I remember in the 70s there were so many self-help books that told people how to do everything from tie your shoelaces, how to buy a car, how to, how to get rid of your wife, how to get a wife, how to get married. And there were no books like that for children. But children have the same issues. They buy backpacks, and they have to know how to be good consumers, and they have problems speaking in front of audiences, just as adults do. But there were no books that told them how to, all that survival stuff that we take for granted. We open a magazine, and they tell us how to do anything in the world, how to invest a dollar, how to invest $1 million. But kids need a book to know, what do you do with your allowance, and how do you negotiate one? And what is that relationship with money all about?
Mm-hmm. And how to critically watch a television commercial.
How to watch TV using your whole brain is one of our lists, and we suggest that you, believe nothing, challenge everything, and ask questions about this stuff you don't know. If you, one of your favorite TV shows, it could be something that's kind of mindless and a no-brainer. But if an issue comes up or even a word comes up that you haven't heard before, go find out more about it and ask your parents or ask somebody else or talk to your friends about it. But TV should not. I happen to love television, and I don't believe that the violence on TV promotes violent children. But I do believe that we need to encourage our children to challenge what they see on TV rather than just accept it wholeheartedly.
Mm. What age group are you aiming at with the book?
This book is for kids aged 8 to 80, as we say.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of great responses from parents. One of the cool things about the book is that adults can read this book, and everybody wants to know, that polar bears are left-handed, right? Everyone wants to know that. So this is something you talk about at the dinner table at night, and it brings parents and kids together and gives them all interesting things to talk about.
What a lifesaver it would have been to have this book in the car when we were kids.
That would have been. Well, I just wish I'd had the stuff on bullies and how to get over shyness and what to do if you want to make a friend and how do you tell a friend you don't want to be their friend anymore. All that sticky stuff that's difficult for anyone. And we just take it for granted that our kids are going to figure out how to do this. But they need a survival guide, and kids have responded so strongly to this. I especially like hearing that kids who don't read books love this one. My favorite quote was from a 10-year-old who said, "I hate reading, I love your book." That was little Alan Finkelstein, age 10. So that was pretty exciting.
Before you published the book, the first time it came out back in 85, did you test it out on kids?
I test myself out on people all the time. If I go to a cocktail party and people turn off to something, well, I know I'm not going to be talking about that much.
Mm.
Back then, remember, there was no internet. There wasn't a way to instantly connect with thousands and thousands of people and resources. One of the reasons we had to redo the book is because the first edition actually came out before we had Jurassic Park. So the first book came out before pre-dinosaur times. But there were also... we had celebrity lists in the first book from people like Mindy Cohn and Kim Fields from Facts of Life and Jimmy McNichol, who was another child star, Ricky Schroeder. And as we got into the second and third editions, we realized two things. First of all, those kids had all grown up, and kids these days have no idea who Mindy Cohn and Kim Fields are. But I remember also finding out that we'd sent these questionnaires out, and we asked kids to name their most important role models. And for the early questionnaires, we had answers like Thomas Jefferson and Franklin Roosevelt and George Washington and the great people in history. Martin Luther King was popular. This time we sent out the questionnaires, and I got back answers like my mother, my father because he's the hardest working person I know, my sister because she's handicapped and has overcome all these difficulties in her life. And what this told us is that kids are really more empowered by themselves these days and their own accomplishments rather than the stars and that whole accent on celebrities, which we had, 10 and 15 years ago. Unfortunately, I think celebrities have disappointed children for the most part. All we hear about drugs and other, other scandals. I think kids are turned off to that, and they're sorry to hear that the people who they love to see so much are not really great human beings.
Mm.
I was thrilled, though, to get, we did get some wonderful lists from Carl Sagan and Jackie Onassis, before she passed away, shared her thoughts on advice for young readers and what books she liked and how to read critically. And that's, you know, among the more thoughtful lists in the book.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite list in the book, if you had to choose?
My favorite lists would be the ones that I needed when I was a kid. The ones on shyness, how to make friends, embarrassing moments. Do you know that embarrassing moments is the most popular subject among children? Kids don't know what to do when the ice cream cone falls on the ground and all their friends laugh, or you open your lunchbox and everybody goes, yuck. That was me in school, and I needed a little help. I needed to know how to share a room with my sister and get along. These days I love the list. I love books. It's still my first love, so I love Jackie Onassis's list. I love the list called 10 Books to Read While You're Waiting for the Next Harry Potter Book. We also have favorite books of certain of various celebrities.
Yeah, there's lots of great ideas for reading in this book.
I think there are lots of great ideas for books in this book. But it, you know what? The book is supposed to be a jumping-off point. One of its real purposes is to let kids know just how big the world is. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the scariest things the Internet has done is left kids with a lot of information and access to a lot of information without any real idea of how they should be processing all that information. And I've always been a list maker because I find it's the best way to organize tasks and the parameters of any subject that I'm working with. Put down all the, just sit down and write ideas down, organizing them into a list. And you find that you've just created kind of a body of work that's a roadmap to something. But I do want kids to use this as the beginning of something. Here are 10 songs you can play on your push-button phone. I think you should all go home and, figure out how to play 20 more on your own. Or who knows, maybe we've got some kids out there who are aspiring musicians who don't have any instruments to play. They can do it on their telephone. But this book is about alternatives, and it's about the fact that it's a real big world with a lot of choices out there, and we all have to share this planet together.
Sandy, thanks so much for talking with us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sandy Churon is an author, editor, art director, and literary agent. She and her husband, Harry, are the editors of the compilers of the all-new Book of Lists for Kids. It's published by Houghton Mifflin. It's coming up on 3 o'clock. You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL Urbana, celebrating 80 years as the broadcasting service of the University of Illinois.